Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In our battle between Long Island and New Jersey, I wonder where our next guest's sympathies would lie. Nadia Salerno Sonnenberg was born in Rome, but she grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and her career since has been one wild ride, marked by years as a flamboyant teen prodigy, a career-threatening accident, battles with depression, TV appearances on 60 Minutes and Johnny Carson, strong reactions from the critics throughout. In the background, you're hearing her latest record, which shows her passions in a new light. It's her first CD as music director of the New Century Chamber Orchestra in San Francisco. Nadia Salerno Sonnenberg is back in our Soundcheck studio. Welcome back.
Thank you. I enjoyed your SmackDown.
Now, New Jersey or Long Island?
Frank Sinatra, the end. Thank you for playing. That's it.
Yeah, that is... It's tough to match.
I mean, I'll tell you, it's not like I'm a big, you know, Jersey talker, but I am. I was raised there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an exit 4 girl. You know, the Jersey people, when they meet each other, they say, oh, really? What exit?
I thought it was like, what's the name of the rest station near your...
Oh, no, that's too detailed.
Okay. Now, but you've been out and about. You know, you've been a soloist for 25 years. It's taken you around the country, around the world.
Longer.
And now here you are in San Francisco with this chamber orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Is this kind of like a reinvention of your career after all that time?
I guess you could look at it that way. It wasn't, you know, it's not how I planned it. I did a guest spot with them, and I fell in love with them. It's just that simple. And I think that it was pretty mutual. We played, it was within 3 or 4 measures of music of the first rehearsal. It was wow. And it was very clear that something had to be done. Now, you know, I was in a very busy career and having the label, and I certainly wasn't looking for to be busier. but like I said, it was a chemistry that could not be ignored.
So is this like a really rare thing when you step out in front of an orchestra, an ensemble, and you start to play and you feel that electricity, chemistry?
It's different. I'm not a soloist, you know. So I'm sitting in the concertmaster chair. This is a conductorless orchestra, and I lead them from that chair. And we decide everything in rehearsals. And it's a very vocal and very very democratic, too democratic. So there's no conductor there. Although I do lead. Basically, what these guys are spectacular musicians, and I think they needed me in the sense that the chemistry worked. I saw it. It's like I had the secret ingredient to bring out the best in their playing and vice versa. And so when we got together to play, we were all like, oh, Jesus, we have to do something about this.
So this does not happen
regularly. No. But, you know, regularly, I'm a soloist.
Right.
And I do solo with my orchestra, but mostly I'm the concertmaster. So that's a very different musical experience for me.
Right. So going from soloist to record label executive, founder and CEO or whatever, to now, you know, the maestra? Is that the maestro? The leader of a chamber orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've taken on...
Too much.
Well, how do you sustain that?
I have very good health, and that's the only way I can do it. I have an enormous energy. And I have enormous desire to do this. For me, I look at New Century in the sense it's actually a good analogy. Let's say you get married, or maybe you're not even married, but you're with someone, and pregnancy, something that absolutely was not planned, and there is this child, and it's huge, and it is just a huge. Huge, cannot think of a huger responsibility.
Yeah.
And yet your life instantly changes and you love this child and you want everything right for this child. And that's exactly how I feel about this orchestra.
Wow, that's one huge baby.
It is a huge baby.
So it's based in the Bay Area, so mm-hmm. Now obviously you're spending a lot of your time out there.
Yeah.
And you've recorded this piece with them by Clarice Assad, mm-hmm. who's the daughter of Sergio.
Yes,
Assad,
that's correct.
One of the two famed Assad brothers, the guitarists from Brazil. And this piece, you said, you've written that it features her impressions of the orchestra and me.
Right.
How does it?
Actually, when I guested with the orchestra, which was, it turned out to be my audition, we played an arrangement of Clarice Assad's. Of Preludium and Allegro, Fritz Kreisler, great violin showpiece, and she made this fantastic arrangement for this particular concert. And so she was present, and she saw the rehearsal, saw a couple of the concerts, and basically studied this. This was the first time I was with New Century. She happened to witness it. And so
she witnessed that wow moment,
yeah,
exactly. You were talking
about. And she also got to know some of the players, and I think because of that, she had very specific ideas of every single player, every single section, and of course, the chemistry between the two of us. So this piece, Impressions, is really super written for us. You know?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And written for the specific players.
Absolutely.
In this ensemble. Yeah. We're speaking with Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg, who is the music director of the New Century Chamber Orchestra. Don't be fooled by the restrained opening of this piece by Clarice Assad. Impressions is the name of it, and by the end, it is a wild musical ride. Her impressions, Nadia, of your first meeting with what is now your band, the New Century Chamber Orchestra. You started with them in September of 08, is that right?
Correct.
Somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And then October of 08, the economy crashes.
Exactly. You know, we had this amazing opening, and I have to say, I mean, I'm such a New Yorker and proud to be a New Yorker and an ambassador for New York as well, everywhere I go. Because some people, they just like to, you know, needle
it's
you about this.
It's an easy target,
It certainly is. So I went out to San Francisco, and the opening that I received there was just, I mean, I was really very, very, very touched. I got letters from every single director of all the arts that can possibly exist there. I got letters and from the senator, from the mayor, banners all over the city, not just Leno Sonnenberg days. I mean, declarations of this and that. It was because it's not, you know, a cute little quaint town.
Well,
it's San Francisco.
And
what a
Michael,
scene there.
When Michael Tilson Thomas joined the San Francisco Symphony, I remember seeing huge billboards of MTT on the sides of buses and stuff. And thinking,
exactly.
That would not happen in New York.
No, it wouldn't. That's true. It wouldn't. And so I just have to say that welcome was, everything was, it was sort of nirvana. And we had this amazing opening, you know, and I played this Piazzolla with them and we recorded it and we did Clarice's impressions and everybody was like, and boom, like
suddenly
2 weeks later, wow, it was over.
So, I mean, was it over? I mean, how do you go on? I mean, this has affected all of the arts, but especially smaller organizations
absolutely,
like this.
Absolutely. The reason why it's not over for us is because I think it has a lot to do with the audience in the Bay Area. I think they're quite loyal. I think it has to do with the fact that I came right at the time when nothing was going to detract from that excitement all around. I think it's because we're being smart, because while there are money problems right now, I, as the music director, am focusing my attention elsewhere, but still constantly getting this organization noticed. That's my goal. I want for the next time they look for a music director, I want it to be for them. Take a number. Yeah, we know you're interested. That's what I want for the group, and
So and, you're already thinking down the line to when you relinquish
because I'm
the
tired
reins.
Already.
1 year
no, no,
and you're
no, no,
already.
No. We have a lot of work to do.
We're speaking with Nadja Salerno Sonnenberg, the violinist, now also the head of its NSS Records,
NSS Music,
which is the label on which this record was released. The record featuring the New Century Chamber Orchestra in San Francisco. The recording includes the Romanian folk dances by Béla Bartók, but not in a version that Bartók himself might have known.
Of different versions of the Romanian, lots of a Romanian. I mean, I learned the piece when I was a little kid, violin piano version. I played a version with Sergio Nodayar Sad. So violin and two guitars, and lots of people play the Romanian folk dance. This is there's a chamber music, chamber orchestra version. This is a string orchestra version that I tweaked a lot so that solos could go all around to the principal players. And it's you know, everybody loves it. It's a wildly fantastic, popular piece. So
instead of you getting all the good stuff and everyone else just sawing away in the background, it's the solos
get spread
out.
We do not saw. Yeah, the solos were spread out. And also I had the solo in the piazzola, so there's enough.
The Bartók Romanian folk dances in the recording by Nadja Salerno Sonnenberg and the New Century Chamber Orchestra. From the Hungarian composer Béla Bartók, some of his Romanian folk dances in an arrangement. Nadja, is this your own arrangement, basically?
No, it's an amalgamation of many different arrangements. I just made decisions in the moment.
How does it work now? You've been a soloist. You're not a conductor, per se.
I'm still a soloist.
Right. but when you're in this situation, you can't be.
No.
A soloist. I mean, you're first of among equals, but
I can't be a soloist, but I have to be a leader. It's exciting for me, also musically. I mean, I've been a soloist for over 30 years, and I, you know, violin my whole life. And when you're a soloist, you are one of the important things you hope is to be different, is to stand out, is to really be unique. And when you are leading an orchestra in that chair, you can't stand out. So I come from a completely different place, a different page of the same book, okay? But still, I have to lead. I have to lead that. But I can't stick out. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is new challenges. Very exciting.
And so what does it mean to lead from that chair? Is it visual cues? Are you, you know, it's just a quick point with the bow between strokes?
No. Although, you know, I've been waving my arms around a little bit. I can't, you know, I have no desire, and I never did, to be a conductor. But there are times when you just really simply have to, because sometimes we have extras, you know, we'll be doing, I'm doing, as a matter of fact, I'm opening my season next month with Pictures at an Exhibition, a Clarissa Sod arrangement.
For chamber orchestra,
for string orchestra, piano and percussion. So there'll be some hand waving.
There will
there'll
be
have
some
to
waving,
be,
yeah.
Know,
yeah.
But it's all done in the rehearsal and visually. But these people, these groups of musicians, I feel like there are 19 hoses attached to my body, and they just sapping everything that's in my head. They get it instantly.
Let me read you this quote from 1998, the New York Times, because you've mentioned a couple of times now, you know, your life as a soloist, it's been your life. The violin has been your life. The Times wrote, and this is over 10 years ago, Ms. Salerno Sonnenberg faces the unenviable task of taking a career built on enormous talent as well as enormous marketing hype and transforming it into something that can be sustained through middle age. I read that and I wonder, would they have written this about a guy who was a violinist?
Listen, the New York Times is a unique publication, but in one that I adore, even though they really don't like me very much. I don't see how you could live without that puzzle, for one thing. But the media, the print media, does tend to follow suit. So I was pegged a certain way very early on.
You were the bad girl, the flamboyant one.
That's it. And because I was doing things like The Tonight Show and I did Sesame Street, I went on Dharma and Greg, you know, I mean, did things like that. So that's also fodder for a publication like The Times. You know, other newspapers will think that's great. The Times will sit there and go, and we're going to use this. And so, you know, when you get older, you recognize the business. I know how things work. And yet, that is I think it's a very accurate quote, and certainly was an accurate challenge.
So is that part of starting the record label, taking on the challenge of leading a chamber orchestra? Is that kind of getting the career into the next stage?
It is, but it was never my plan. Is it anything in my life? It's so funny how it works out. I started the record label because I was just damned frustrated. There was no, I'm going to do this and this is going to lead my career to this way. I was just really pissed.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean, we've seen that in the indie rock world, of course.
You see it, classical, you know, it's I can't understand why everybody doesn't, although I do see now how much time it takes and how much energy. But everything that I have decided when I decided to sign the contract with this orchestra is because I just had to make music with these people. And then now you look back and you go, oh, I see, yes, your career is going this way, but it's always in hindsight,
right,
with me.
Right. So is what's happening in the indie rock world happening in the classical music world, where the artists are having to, you know, kind of take that frustration and channel it into a bit more of a business sense?
It is, except it's not as successful in the classical.
Why is that?
Because because less people listen to classical music. It's very simple. It's always been a minority, always. And so for a classical artist to start their own label and get the word out there, you're talking about, if you're successful, you're going to sell maybe 5,000 albums. That's classical music. That's the way it's been. You know, that's the way it is. And I'm very grateful that my label's doing this. This is my eighth release. It's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but I have to say again, it's the dogmatic energy and the commitment on my part, because I can certainly see why some people would say, yeah, it was a great idea, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't sustain it. I can see that.
Well, it's, you know, to try and do that and maintain a career as a soloist, mm-hmm. And, you know, to go back to that Times quote, as you say, there was a good point being made there.
Definitely.
But, you know, the media follows after the hot young things. You know, now we've got like a bunch of early 20-something mm-hmm. violinists who are mm-hmm. out there who get all the attention and mm-hmm. stuff. And it becomes harder to maintain that part. There's a lot of work involved just in maintaining that part of your career.
I think that I would, if I had the chance to be 20 again, I would take it only physically. I would not want to start my career over again now. No way.
Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg is my guest. Her most recent recording is called Together, recorded together with the New Century Chamber Orchestra in San Francisco, works by Clarissa Saad, Piazzolla, which we're hearing in the background, Bartok and Gershwin. And Nadja, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much for joining us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
That'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, a new book details how the politically active Leonard Bernstein amassed a big FBI file and was eventually blacklisted. The book's author tells us how that impacted his music. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau.